Hi everyone, and hope your week is going well. The Apostle Paul, who takes more and more of a central role in the book of Acts as it develops, is widely recognised as one of the early leaders in the Christian church with a powerful and effective ministry. He was instrumental in helping to define some of the key things that many Christians believe and that we continue to debate and to explore together today. He wrote a significant part of what we now know as the New Testament. He was recognised as a teacher, a preacher, a debater. He was totally committed to serving Jesus wherever that led him. He ministered in the power of the Spirit. And one of the things he's remembered for is travelling around the Mediterranean area, just as Heather reminded us last weekend, to take the good news of Jesus to people who had not heard it. He makes this clear towards the end of the book of Romans, in chapter 15, verse 20, where he was talking about his plans to visit Spain. "It has always been," he says, "my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." And if you'd asked Paul to summarise his message, to explain the focus of what he had found so important that he dedicated his life to it, his answer would have been very clear. He explains this when he wrote to the church at Corinth. In his first letter to that church, in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." At the centre of his message was Jesus, the one God had sent into the world, and the one who had been willing to die on a cross to make it possible for humanity, people like you and me, to be brought back into relationship with God. Similarly, as he starts his letter to the church at Rome, he makes it clear that he sees himself set apart for the gospel of God, and that this gospel was about God's Son, Jesus, who not only died, but through the powerful work of the Spirit was brought back to life, having defeated death as he dealt with the problem of sin. So the good news from God about Jesus and all that Jesus has made possible was the clear focus of Paul's message wherever he went. But if you then ask Paul how he communicated his message, I think his response would have been much less definitive and more all along the lines of, "It depends." And we see examples of this in the two passages we're thinking about this weekend. We're going to look at each of them briefly and then think about the important implications for us today. Implications that I think are quite simple to understand, but often quite difficult to put into practice. Last week, we left Paul in Paphos, and as the chapter continues, we see that he and his companions continued their journey to Perga, and then on to a place called Pisidian Antioch. And it's in that place that we pick up the story. And on the Saturday, they went to the synagogue with many of the Jews in the town, along with Gentiles who believed in God, to worship, to pray, to study their Bible, our Old Testament. And as visitors, they were given an opportunity to speak to the people. And needing no further encouragement, Paul stands up, invites the congregation to listen, and starts to speak. And what he says and the way he does it is totally appropriate to his setting and where his listeners are at. He recognises in Acts 13:16 that they were people who worshipped God. He identified with them and said that this is something we have in common. He goes back into the history of God's people. He traces it from the time that they were called to be God's people, from the time that God spoke initially to Abraham and then through those descendants, through the time they spent as slaves in Egypt, through their journey in the wilderness and to coming into the land that God had promised them. Paul goes on to speak about what had happened after that, as they were led by a succession of judges, as a monarchy was established, and he spoke warmly and positively about David, the person recognised as their greatest king. None of this would have been new to the people in the synagogue. This was their shared story, a history they were familiar with. He would have helped Paul to establish himself as one who understood their context, who understood the basis of their beliefs. But it then jumps from David to Jesus, using the link that Jesus was an ancestor of David. You get this in verse 23. And the emphasis of what he says is about how Jesus was arrested, tried, convicted, and crucified. But that God had raised him from death, in verse 30. And that he had been seen by many people. And then he goes on to show how the promises that God had made to his people hundreds of years before had come true in the person of Jesus. And it was only through believing who Jesus was and what he had done that people could be forgiven of their sins and be drawn into relationship with God. And he finishes by challenging them to respond positively, unlike their ancestors had done on so many occasions. A message that was rooted in their shared history, but went from that to speak powerfully about Jesus and laying before each person the need to respond positively to him. A little later on in the story, in Acts 17, Paul is in Athens and he finds a very different context. He sees many idols, which really distressed him as he wanted people to worship God alone. The God of Israel, the God that is spoken about in the Old Testament, but a God that was not known to these people. And in verse 17, we see he does spend time in the synagogue, where his engagement would probably have been similar to what we saw a few moments ago. But then he's invited to debate with a group of philosophers and is taken to a meeting in the Areopagus. It's a name that has two meanings. It spoke about a large rocky outcrop in the centre of the city, but also referred to the city council. And Paul comes before this council. He's invited to speak, and his approach here is very different. He recognises the importance of religion to them and affirms them in that. He speaks about the time he'd spent in the city, become familiar with their customs and beliefs. You get this in verse 22 and 23. And picking up on something he had seen, he goes on to speak about God. But he starts back at creation, speaking about the power of God in bringing everything into existence. He speaks about God making humanity so that men and women could spread across the whole earth, seek God out and live in relationship with him. But then Paul challenges the people in Athens to recognize that this God is above his creation. He can't be properly represented by an image. And he warns them that one day God is going to judge those who have not turned to him in repentance. You see this in verse 30. And that the person through whom he was going to judge is the man he raised from the dead. So we're back to Jesus. There's nothing here about the history of the Jews or the story of the Bible, but it's all responding to what Paul saw about him, what Paul saw around him, and with what the people would have been familiar. And then again, he goes on from there to speak about the vital need to engage with God through Jesus, the one who had died and the one that God had raised from the dead. In both cases, his message was clearly about Jesus and the need to respond to him. In both cases, his message was totally uncompromising. But the way he presented his message was totally different. It was totally appropriate to each situation. And it started from a place that his hearers would have recognized and understood. I think this has some very simple but important things to say to us about how we speak with others about Jesus. We need to be totally clear about who Jesus is, what he did, and its implications, and the importance of responding to him for ourselves. But we also need to start from a place of understanding where the other person is at, their current understanding and beliefs, so that what we say is appropriate and makes sense. This shows respect for the other person and their beliefs, and it establishes a basis for communication. We should use language that is appropriate and meaningful to the person with whom we are speaking. What we should not do is use language that assumes a 20-year engagement with Jesus, that assumes a deep knowledge of the Bible and the terms associated with the Christian faith. we should not use this language without understanding for how that might come across, about how some of it might be incomprehensible to someone when we have the wonderful opportunity to speak with that person who has none of that context. We should not just assume or expect others to understand the words that we might love to use in church to speak about our shared experience of Jesus. But we should make the effort to use language, terminology, and illustrations that are meaningful to the people we are speaking with. This was something Paul seemed to have understood, and it gave him the opportunity to speak with many different people from all sorts of backgrounds. Are we prepared to do the hard work of listening, of understanding, of observing, and then from that place to speak about Jesus in a way that is meaningful, relevant, and compelling? Here are some questions to think about. What are some good ways of understanding where people are at? What are some difficulties in seeking to speak differently, depending on the situation? And what excites you about this way of speaking with others about Jesus?